Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is the Soundcheck Podcast.
Caught up in all these lights and cameras. But look what that dish hit the hammer.
Last week, the nominations for the 56th Annual Grammy Awards were announced with a live telecast concert on CBS. And leading the pack this year with 9 nominations is rapper Jay-Z, who released his album Magna Carta Holy Grail this past summer. And joining me now from the Washington Post with his take on the Grammys is music critic Chris Richards. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So, Jay-Z, 9 nominations, but none in the big 4 categories. What do you make of that?
It's very interesting, isn't it? I sound like a broken record here, and I know I've talked about this on Soundcheck before, but I have this thing where I just think the Grammys are too big. There are 82 categories this year, and Jay-Z leads the nominations, but all of his nods are kind of like in the hinterlands of the awards and not in the center. I think it really speaks
best engineering, non-classical, recorded on a weekend.
And the Grammy goes too. But yeah, I mean, I think it really speaks to the power of brand names. Those really go a long way with the people who do the nominations and the voting for the Grammy Awards. And that's why you have something like, you know, Led Zeppelin nominated for Best Rock Performance from a live album that was recorded in 2007.
Yeah.
So the brand name appeal totally applies to Jay-Z. This year, he's really put himself forward as a brand more than anything else. Magna Carta Holy Grail was kind of presented or rolled out as this promotional vehicle for a brand of mobile phones, as we all remember. And it just seemed like maybe Jay-Z could have been making this grand, like, Warholian statement about commerce and art, but that was not reflected in the incredibly boring lyrics on this record, and this whole thing kind of confounds me, as the Grammys tend to do.
Well, now these 9 nominations for Jay-Z include his appearance on the Justin Timberlake album, The 2020 Experience, and it too got snubbed in the major categories.
Yeah, I think we're in this sort of weird decentralized place. In the major categories, I think what you see is the folks doing the voting and nominating are trying to grab onto new artists. That's exciting. But then at the same time, it just feels just a little bit off. And the biggest glaring omission, in my opinion, would be Kanye West's Yeezus. This is a record that has like so much critical acclaim and has generated so much discussion this year. And it's nowhere to be found in the Album of the Year category, which was a head scratcher for me.
Yeah. In fact, only got a single nomination for Best Rap Album.
Uh-huh, honey.
What you doing in the club on a Thursday? She said she only here for a girl birthday. They order champagne but still look thirsty. Rock Forever 21 but just turned 30.
You mentioned, you know, that the voters, the nominators are sort of clutching at the new artists. This seems to be one of the big stories is the new artist known as Lorde, 17-year-old New Zealander with, you know, perhaps the song of the year has been at the top of the charts for a long time, called Royals, and yet she was not nominated for Best New Artist. How does that happen?
I don't know. I thought that was a lock. I thought she'd be a lock for the winner, but she is nominated for Record of the Year and Song of the Year with Royals. The one thing about the nomination concert that I thought was helpful to the general American public is we now know officially that her name is pronounced Lorde and the E is silent. I have everyone coming up to me going, what's up with this Lordy? So now we know how to pronounce her name, but I still think she is very capable of having a huge night at the Grammys. The song Royals has been everywhere, and it seems like a likely winner for either or both of those categories.
All right. We're speaking with Chris Richards, music writer for The Washington Post. And Lorde sang this song on Friday night's telecast for the Grammy nominations. It's called Royals.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies. And I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy. But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, blood stains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be wrong.
Royals.
It's a run in our blood. That kind of luck just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Royals from Lord, the 17-year-old New Zealander, nominated for Grammys in two of the big four categories, Song of the Year and Record of the Year, which, Chris, that's a songwriter award, right?
Yes, Song of the Year is for songwriting. Record of the Year is for the production and performance of the song.
Okay.
Always a kind of a confusing
delineation. Yeah, so it is possible to win one but not the other with the same song.
That is true. Or both, or neither.
Right. Yeah. But you expect this song from Lord to do pretty well in one or two of those categories.
I gotta suspect so. It's one of those songs, to me, that people are talking about in line at the grocery store. It's reached that level of chit-chat. You hear it everywhere you go. I've heard it at shopping malls and car washes and all over the place. Yeah, car washes even. So it's just one of those tunes that's all over the place. So it seems like that kind of is a good harbinger of things to come for her.
All right. We're speaking with Chris Richards, who is a music writer for The Washington Post and apparently takes his car to the car wash on occasion. Let's talk about another of the big four categories, Chris. Album of the Year. What do you make of the nominees this year?
Well, Album of the Year, the first thing we should probably talk about is Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. Their album, The Heist, is up, and they are actually kind of the leaders in terms of these top four categories. They're nominated in three out of the four, and I think they could be a really big storyline coming out of the Grammys in January. The thing that's interesting about Macklemore and Ryan Lewis is that with the ubiquity of their single Thrift Shop, they've kind of become recognized as a fresh new voice in hip-hop, but also at the same time kind of rebuking a lot of the attitudes in hip-hop, which is something that Lords Royals also does.
Absolutely.
This is interesting because the Grammys have always had a very complicated relationship with hip-hop. Only two hip-hop records have ever won Album of the Year. They were by Lauryn Hill and Outkast. Every year, a lot of the hip-hop universe kind of feels like maybe they've been sort of cordoned off in the hip-hop categories and haven't been allowed to perform on the telecast as frequently as artists of other genres. This year, strangely, in the converse, Drake was scheduled to perform at Friday night's nomination ceremony, but pulled out at the last minute. So there's always been kind of a tricky relationship between hip-hop music and the Grammys. And Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, their heavy nomination in these top four categories kind of speaks to that in an interesting way, since their music is both a part of this genre and kind of a criticism of it as well.
So they're nominated, as you say, in three of the four major categories, and in total have seven nominations, ranking them second behind Jay-Z. Do they have a chance to walk off with a whole bunch of statues?
I think it's pretty – again, this is another one of those grocery store artists. My demographics are all solely based on eavesdropping in line at the grocery store, clearly. But I do think like when pop music reaches that level where it is part of the discussion in public, that's when you're really seeing what popularity is all about. And I think the Grammys, they provide this kind of campfire moment in this world where all of our pop music is just splayed across this digital space and is so disorganized and kind of like this wild, wild west, which I personally love about the current state of things. I think we do still crave these sort of mass culture moments where we can all huddle around the same campfire and talk about the same thing. I'm not a huge fan of this album or their work, but I'm interested in their gravity and their magnetism as a group, as a duo that's kind of drawn a lot of people into the conversation about what hip-hop is in 2013.
Well, Thrift Shop is certainly a fun song that we heard a lot of in the past year, but Same Love, a song against homophobia, is certainly getting a lot of attention and, you know, seems to have resonated with a lot of the voters because that's nominated as well. Here is Macklemore and Ryan Lewis featuring Mary Lambert.
If I was gay, I would think hip-hop hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay, gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression. Yeah, we don't have acceptance for them. Call each other faggots behind the keys of a message board. A word rooted in hate, yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. It's the same hate that's caused wars from religion, gender to skin color, the complexion of your pigment. The same fight that led people to walkouts and sit-ins. It's human rights for everybody. There is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was at church, they taught me something else.
Same Love is one of the two big hits from the album The Heist by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, this one featuring singer Mary Lambert. They have seven nominations for the next Grammy Awards, including in three of the four major categories. The 56th annual Grammys will be held on January 26th. You can find a link to Chris Richards' piece in the Washington Post about the Grammy nominees at soundcheck.org. He's with us from the Washington Post studios in D.C. Chris, you were saying just before that, you know, looking at the kind of the pop music scene, you described it as the wild, wild west. And when you look at the nominees for Album of the Year, it is a pretty wild, a pretty eclectic bunch, isn't it?
It really is. You have someone like Taylor Swift, who is a household name with Red, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, who we just talked about. Kendrick Lamar, the rap rookie who's really enchanted a lot of people, is up with his official debut album, Good Kid, Mad City. And then Daft Punk with Random Access Memories, a really solid dance record from a very reliable group, although they've kind of been jumped in and out of the popscape in the past years. They kind of turn on and off. But this record. And then, of course, the artist that I bet you are leading me to next. Is that correct?
Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah, with The Blessed Unrest. That was kind of the big surprise for Album of the Year. This is her single Brave has been huge. But for me, it was like the whoa, you know, what's happening here? What were your thoughts on it, John? I'm curious about that.
This song is just everywhere. And I, you know, we've talked in the past about, you know, the kind of the ascendancy of the solo female singer in the pop music scene. And, you know, Sarah Bareilles, there's a type. There's a vocal type that she falls into, which can be very, can make you think so much of other pop singers who are at that level that they become sort of indistinguishable from one another at some point, which, you know, sort of defeats the whole point to me of being a fan of one musician rather than another.
Right. Interesting. That's an interesting point. The one thing I thought kind of interesting, too, is Brave, the single from this record that we're talking about, was co-written with the gentleman from Fun. I thought that was kind of an interesting way for Fun to, I was reading back what happened at last year's Grammys, and Fun had a pretty big year. Yep. And thinking, what have they done this year? Well, this is kind of like, you know, backstage, staying involved in what's happening in the pop scene for Nate Ruiz of Fun.
Well, having just dissed Sarah Bareilles' Brave for being all over the place, here's a little more of it on Soundcheck. That is Brave, the ubiquitous hit from Sarah Bareilles from her album The Blessed Unrest, which is a nominee for Album of the Year. We're speaking with Chris Richards of The Washington Post, whose piece about the Grammy nominees is at soundcheck.org. Maybe we're both a little, you know, on the fence about some of these artists, but you, Chris, are excited about one artist who has sort of come out of the country music scene. Tell us about Kacey Musgraves.
Oh, Kacey Musgraves. I'm such a huge fan. No matter how bleak the year's nominees look for any Grammy nomination year, there's always kind of a faint whiff of sanity somewhere. And this year, that's Best New Artist nominee Kacey Musgraves, who is a country singer. Her debut album, Same Trailer, Different Park, is my album of the year. I think it's just a phenomenal record. She's a very quietly innovative country singer who's really kind of talking about the where do we go now predicament that so many millennials, for lack of a better term, in her generation are facing right now. Taylor Swift, before her, was sort of recognized as this really relatable artist, a regular girl singing about regular things. Kacey Musgraves kind of takes that into adulthood. You know, she's one who's singing about being in your 20s and wondering and kind of staring down the difficulties of adulthood, especially like this bleak job market and all the other challenges that this generation is facing right now, the promise of America kind of looking sort of flimsy, that's all kind of very subtly packed into these very simple, very beautiful, eloquent songs. She sings in a very calm register, which to me sounds like the authority of speech, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just, there's no kind of like vocal derring do, and it's just on point. I love this album.
And I think, Chris, that's what I was talking about before when I was talking about Sarah Bareilles and the kind of vocal type. Casey Musgraves certainly goes against type with this
yes.
record. The instrumentation, too, is often really surprising on this record.
Yeah, it's just very understated in a way that I found commanding. That's kind of the mystery of it. A lot of people I've played it for have been kind of like, oh, it goes right by me. But then if the second or third listen, it really starts to kind of sink its teeth into you. And there's this sort of like latent gravity to the instrumentation, to her vocal delivery, and of course the message of what she's saying. I think a lot of times we really view country musicians almost specifically about what they're singing about, mm-hmm. which is a huge part for what Casey Musgraves is doing. But I think once you begin to listen to this album, the third, the fourth time, you really start to notice the sort of undertow in the arrangements, in the instrumentation, and it just gives it more gravitas all the way, I think.
Yeah. So you're hoping for a good night for her on January 26th.
Rooting for Casey.
All right. Chris Richards, music writer for The Washington Post, with us on Soundcheck. Chris, nice talking to you again.
Always. Thanks a lot.
Here's a little bit from Casey Musgraves. Follow Your Arrow.
You don't save yourself from marriage. You're a horrible person. If you won't have a drink, then you're a prude. But they'll call you a drunk as soon as you down the first one. If you can't lose the weight, then you're just fat. But if you lose too much, then you're on crack.
Thanks for listening. Stay connected by subscribing to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and download the new WNYC mobile app for free. See you next time. I'm John Schaefer.